Hi.
How you doing, David?
I'm very well. Who are you?
Good, good. Well, I'd love to jump into it if you're ready, David.
I am.
So I've got to ask, what first caught your eye about Jacob's script? You know, what got you attached to this wonderful movie?
It was the fact that it was a genre the likes of which I hadn't been afforded the opportunity before. You know, I love time travel movies. One of my favorites of recent memory is Edge of Tomorrow. And I personally hadn't had the opportunity to be in one. I love action movies. You know, action is something I haven't done as much as I would like thus far. But really what grabbed my attention was this relationship between this uncle and this niece of his. And I just really spoke to me, being a father myself and knowing I would do anything and everything I could to protect my children. It just felt like that was the core theme of the film, and like I say, the thing that really drew me in about the film.
As far as you jumping on as a producer, I know you've done that quite a bit of number of times recently. Was that because you kind of, like you said, you kind of fell in love with this script and this idea, or you know, is that something you're looking to do with every film from now on, as be a producing partner?
Oh gosh, it's definitely not something I'm looking to do with every film. With this one, I was just so passionate about it out of the gate that Jacob Edmonds and I just started digging in terms of the development of the film. You know, it was originally written or set on a farm in Ohio with a white protagonist, and so when they approached me, it was obviously going to need some recalibrating, and so that afforded us the opportunity to rethink certain elements of the film, and as we rolled our sleeves up with that, Jason Blum approached me and said, look, you're already performing essentially the duties of a producer, would you like to come on board and help us continue to shape this? So that's how that came about. But you know, anytime I'm really passionate about a project, either it's to do with the fact that I've helped develop it, or I came on board at a stage where I'm bringing in the finance or the studio or some of the acting elements, or really digging in with the development of the scripts, it's always born out of the fact that I just want to do everything I can to see it be its best self.
Wow, I didn't realize it was about a white character base. Can you talk a bit about, this film is so diverse. I mean, you've got obviously Storm in it and Brian and Byron Mann. Can you talk about the diversity of it? That's one of the things I loved about the film.
Yeah. I mean, it was born out of my casting, which again, you know, I think this is inclusion in action. You know, once you make that kind of decision, it can really open things up. If I wasn't cast, the likelihood is it wouldn't be Storm Reid, it wouldn't be Michael T. Williamson, it wouldn't be Brian Tyree Henry, because, you know, it's very much built around that family. And I just love the fact that we didn't suddenly now decide to make the film have a racial theme just because it has a predominantly African-American cast. And actually, that to me is one of the great cultural shifts that is happening, and Blumhouse is very much at the forefront of it, that we can see genre pieces, we can see films that have a cinematic scope that, you know, actors of color don't necessarily always have the opportunity to be in. And so, you know, once I came on board, we decided, okay, let's make this more specific. Let's not just dump me on a farm in Ohio. Let's think about what me plus this movie means, and so we continue to build it out from there.
You know, you're such a powerful actor when you're working off of fellow actors. You and Mr. Williamson were tremendous at the end of the film especially, and I love the scenes with you and Alfred Molina, but working with Storm on a cell phone, was it tough, or was it... How did you guys accomplish that?
It was tough, but it was also you know, we found a beautiful way around it, which was that we made a pact to always be on set with each other whenever we were the one on screen, on one side of the phone call. So, you know, if someone was doing a scene, I would be in the next room, I would be on the phone, but whenever Jake was given direction, it was to both of us as actors. So it was very much an acting exercise where we were both responding to each other in a very real way, as opposed to, you know, Storm being at home and someone else reading her lines. Of course, it's not going to be the same as getting to act opposite her, even though it's over the phone. And I think that was a very good decision we made, because if the relationship isn't reading as true, I don't think the film ultimately ends up working.
As far as being, I mean, you've played so many pieces that were like Selma and A United that are, you know, back in time. Being able to play something right now, was it refreshing? I mean, I know you've played so many different characters, but most recently you've taken those more old school roles. But was it kind of refreshing to be right now in the modern times?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely it was, and that's partly why I wanted to do it. You know, I'm always looking to try to defy expectation of what people may think I would do next. And as you say, you know, I'm known probably more for historical films I've done, dramas I've done, as opposed to genre pieces. But again, what I love about Don't Let Go is it's just sort of a genre-defying piece. You know, it's both a time travel movie, a psychological thriller, it's a detective film, it's a whodunit, it's an action movie, but it's also a family drama. It's all of these things woven into one. And in the world of being someone who likes to try to defy expectation, you know, that was the case for me in this role, but that was also the case in relation to the film itself.
I don't know if this was something I just caught on, and I hope it's part of what you and Jacob were trying to do, but I noticed all these themes of the color red, like the red X, the red gum, red bike. Was that intentional, or did I just read into it?
No, that's very, very well observed. You know, when you're making a film, there's so many things you're trying to put in there to draw the audience in, you know, little Easter eggs, little things that they may or may not notice, but give a general tone to the film that you maybe are imbibing subconsciously. But that theme was definitely in the movie, down to my underwear, which no one will ever see in the movie, but that's kind of a fun thing that filmmakers do. So the fact that you picked up on that is incredibly astute and very rewarding.
So I've got to ask, we have your, hopefully soon, your directorial feature debut. We're anticipating it. And you had Alfred Molina, I believe, cast in your new movie. I know that's not, you know, finalized and all that, but can you talk a bit about your relationship with him as an actor? I mean, I think he's one of those wonderful actors to get to know and see on screen.
Yeah, no, he is in my directorial debut, and it's actually the fourth time I've worked with Alfred. We did Kenneth Branagh's As You Like It together, which is a film I did with Bryce Dallas Howard as myself, as Orlando and Harris Rosalind. I directed him in my first, well, in my short film, a film called Big Guy, and then we did Don't Let Go, and now he's in my feature directorial debut, The Waterman, and he's someone who, every time I've called, he's come, whether it was my short film, whether it was Don't Let Go, and now The Waterman. Each time it was me making a call to him, and him coming along and playing, and he's just one of those people I so deeply respect as an actor. I think he's a brilliant actor, and he elevates everything he's in. You know, just Alfred Molina being in a movie makes me want to see the movie, and so I very selfishly try to put him in everything I'm in so that it'll feel like one of those movies I would want to see.
I'd love to ask a question about diving into directing for you. You've worked with so many wonderful people, from Spielberg. You talked about Kenneth Branagh, Lee Daniels, obviously Jacob now is a new up-and-coming guy, Christopher Nolan. Is there anything in particular from any of the directors or writers you've gotten to work with that you've kind of taken into the way you will direct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've just wrapped in The Waterman, and I'm in post-production now. And the thing that was very clear to me working with all those great people is they hire great people and they empower them to do their jobs well. I've worked with other directors who made the mistake of micromanaging the people they've hired onto their crew, and that never brings out the best in people. At the end of the day, you know, empowering people to do their work just makes you look good as a director, and I needed to look good on this one with my directorial debut. So that was the lesson I've learned from the great directors I've worked with, and it's certainly one I tried to do.
And David, I'd love to know, you got so much screen time in this film, and you're so powerful in it. Were you trying to channel any particular inspiration, or did you have a thing you were looking towards as, this is the type of cop I want to portray, or anything like that?
Well, I shadowed a detective in South Central Los Angeles to try and really ground the character in someone real, because, you know, not being African American myself, not living in South Central or growing up in this country even, I can never assume that I can just turn up and be able to tell the truth of that kind of character. So that was definitely something I had to do. But, you know, what I was really trying to achieve was, or the thing that really scared me was, can you play this role in a way that feels authentic? Can you play someone who is genuinely reacting to the craziness of this possibility, not only of the awful tragedy of losing his niece, but then reacting to this very unlikely supernatural eventuality where time has split and now you're talking to your niece 2 weeks in the past? You know, I love the fact that I got to play the incredulity of that, as opposed to it just being a given. And that was one of the things I was really hoping to convey, the truth of reacting to that crazy possibility. And so that was one of the opportunities afforded by the film. I'm being told we have one last question, I'm afraid.
Oh, no worries. I'm Israeli by birth, so I've got to ask, your DP on this film was an Israeli, Sharon Meir. I'd love to know if you got to have any particular interactions with Sharon about the way you were shot, or scenes that stood out to you in the way he shot.
Well, Sharon and Jacob have worked together several times. I think Sharon has directed I've been the DOP on every film that Jacob has made. So they had a real shorthand in terms of how they wanted this film to look. In all honesty, once I was in the acting zone with the film, I sort of let them do their thing because, you know, this was such an intense experience in terms of the filming that I sort of felt like I couldn't afford to get bogged down with the look of it. I was just going to exist and hope that the camera catches what I'm trying to evoke. But I'm just so happy with the look of the film. It tonally really, really matches the sort of the intensity of the emotion of what's going on. I think he's an incredibly talented director of photography.
David, thank you so much. It was a real pleasure, and I love the film, and I can't wait to see The Waterman. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.